Hi everyone, Pastor Matt Kennedy here, really looking forward to delving into the Word of God with you guys again this week. According to Bill Farmer's newspaper column, J. Upton Dixon was a fun-loving fellow who said he was going to write a book entitled Cower Power. He also founded a group of submissive people and it was called Doormats. That stood for Dependent Organization of Really Meek and Timid Souls. If there are no objections. Their motto was, the meek shall inherit the earth, if that's okay with everybody. Their symbol was the yellow traffic light. Mr. Dixon, he kind of sounds like he'd be someone who'd be a bit of fun, doesn't he? What is disturbing about all of this, though, is that many people assume the ridiculous ideas behind Doormat and Cower Power represent the quality of meekness which is set forth in Matthew 5:5. Many, even in the church, think to be meek is to be weak. But the opposite is true. What the Bible is talking about is a powerful virtue. The slogan, strong enough to be gentle, comes close to defining it. True meekness is best seen in Christ. He was submissive, never resisting or disputing the will of God. His absolute trust in the Father enabled him to show compassion and courage and self-sacrifice, even in the midst of hostile situations. Now, let's apply this to ourselves. When we are meek, we will bear insults without lashing out in proud resentment or retaliation. We'll thank God in every circumstance while using every circumstance, good or bad, as an occasion to submit to Him. Meekness would be weakness if it meant yielding to sin. But because it stems from goodness and godliness, it is a great strength. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would give me the words to speak, and each of us, Lord, myself included, the ears to hear. I just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts and minds. In Jesus' beautiful name, amen. So, wanting to welcome everyone as we continue in our series on the Beatitudes. So far, we've looked at the first Beatitude. So, Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. From this, we understood the need for humility, to understand all that we have and all that we are comes from God, to also recognize that we bring nothing to the table regarding our salvation, but that Jesus has done it all, and we're saved by grace and grace alone. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Last week, we look at the second Beatitude, Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We saw God's love for us in our lowest moments, how he walks with us and comforts us in our greatest losses. We also saw the importance of mourning for our sin and the state of the world and how we find our hope in Jesus, both in the present as well in the future. This week, we're going to be looking at the third Beatitude as found in Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When Jesus spoke this, it is interesting to note up front that he was most probably taking this quality of meekness from Psalm 37:11, where the psalmist says, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Jesus, yet again, shows the consistency of Scripture, and we see again the importance of the Old Testament even for us here today. On another note, as we delve into this, let me point out that the more I've looked into this verse, the larger this topic actually becomes. This topic of meekness is actually huge. With this in mind, let me encourage each of you again to delve into this topic yourself, because its parameters are far wider than you might expect and far wider than I can look at today as well. Now, the word meek these days seems to get a fairly bad rap, doesn't it, as we looked at in our opening illustration. For many people, when they think of the word meek, they think or they associate the word to mean weak or wimpy, soft in a bad way, timid, someone who's walked all over like a doormat. But that is as far a cry from what Jesus is talking about here as it could be. For us here today, the English word meek originates from the Old Norse word mjukkar, which means soft or gentle, which is why we can sometimes get the wrong idea of what it means in this passage. The word gentle isn't a bad word, except that there is a different sense or vibe to what we might automatically think, which is why the word was actually translated as meek instead of gentle. When we look at the word based on the original Greek, this word's meaning leans towards a word called pros, which is better translated to mean strength under control. The best way to describe it is by explaining the context in which it was often used. The word meek was often used in conjunction with the breaking of horses. This, for instance, was the term used when breaking in a war horse. The breaking in would turn the horse from being wild and untamed, headstrong and spirited, to being a mighty, powerful beast, strong but trained and in control. A powerful horse, terrifying in its ability and potential, but now willing to take direction and submit to its rider. Aristotle, that well-known Greek philosopher from antiquity, when relating this to a human, said that the prous man is one who has the virtue of the mean between two extremes. If recklessness were on one end and cowardice were on the other, prous might be characterized as steady courage. For example, a meek person doesn't shy away from taking a stand. Rather, the stand is taken at the right time, with the right people, in the right way. He or she submits or constrains power for greater effect on self and others. So often the teaching of Jesus seems to fly in the face of worldly culture. For us here today, even as Christians, we're probably willing to hear me speak kind of like about how meekness is a great virtue to have, but because we've been so infiltrated by a worldly culture, we might accept what I say in principle, but we refuse on another level to actually put it into practice. Friends, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being meek. In fact, I would suggest that it takes more of a man or woman to be someone who is meek as opposed to someone who is the opposite, whether it be harsh, inconsiderate of others, or demanding. Someone who both instigates or retaliates, taking justice into their own hands. Meekness is the ability to either allow something to just pass by despite the perceived injustice, or to respond towards an injustice appropriately. For instance, if we were physically or verbally abused, we don't respond in like. We don't strike out physically or verbally the same way or with the same intentions that we have been abused. That's meekness. If we wanted to seek a fantastic example of meekness, then we only have to look at the life of Jesus. I mean, Jesus was someone who was of absolute power. He was the mightiest man to have walked the face of this earth. He really was. He had the power of God at his fingertips, didn't he? He had legions of heaven of the heavens at his beck and call. He had the ability to demand a raging storm to be quiet, and it obeyed him without hesitation. He could curse a fig tree and it would wither and die. Countless times Jesus showed us that he could heal the sick. Demons feared this guy. Religious leaders envied him. Thousands followed him and wanted to make him their king. Jesus also walked through a furious crowd who wanted to throw him from a cliff. And yet Jesus turned and quietly walked through them untouched, unscathed. Jesus was the one through whom all things was created. And yet this mightiest of men, instead of taking his rightful place on the throne, instead of smiting those who both deserved it and really needed a good kick up the pants, Jesus, the one who we know as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts, the one who will judge the living and the dead, instead of showing and using and displaying his most awesome of power, he submitted himself to the wickedness of man, the injustice of humanity, and allowed himself to be cruelly nailed to a cross until he died the most horrible of deaths. This despite the fact that he was fully capable of saving himself and absolutely smashing his enemies. This, my friends, is meekness. Even in the midst of his clearing of the temple, of the stock and the money changers, Jesus, in his strength, he still, even in that moment, showed meekness, strength under control. War horses are powerful animals, aren't they? They're strong and deadly in battle, and yet they are described as meek. That's why we associate the word meek with the Greek word pros, meaning strength under control. When a horse is in the midst of battle, it's still meek as it is powerful but bridled. It isn't running free. It isn't going crazy, killing and destroying at random. It is controlled, led by its rider, and directing its power and strength towards a specific cause. When Jesus saw the corruption in the temple, he didn't just walk in and start hitting everyone with lightning bolts or anything like that. Mark 11:11 tells us that Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Instead, as we see in this Gospel of Mark and John, Jesus first looked at what was happening, and then he carefully planned what he was going to do the next day. The Gospel of John shows us that Jesus went even as far as making a whip of cords to drive out the many animals and the people that were selling things in the temple court. John 2:13-15. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Now, Jesus was showing strength under control, even in this situation. Think on this. Jesus, using his whip, drove out the sheep and the cattle and no selling them. And he overturned the tables of the money changers, spilling their ill-gotten money all over the ground as he forcefully drove them out from the premises, out from his father's house. But even in the midst of these decisive actions, Jesus was showing compassion. We see that in the next verse of the John passage that we've looked at. So John 2:16. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." If Jesus was just rampaging, he would have just overturned the cages holding the doves that were being sold. And this would have meant that the owners of the doves would have lost their stock, as they would either be injured or escape from broken cages. But instead, Jesus demands that they remove them from the temple courts, as opposed to doing it himself. Showing compassion even in the midst of his controlled zeal for his father's house. How about you? Are you meek? Are you someone who practices strength under control? Or are you someone who loses control? When we look at Jesus, we see not only his overwhelming ability to not retaliate in the many situations he finds himself in, but we also see that even when action is required, it can be achieved with meekness. When we take action, we do so within the will of God, and we must be fully considerate of who we are in Jesus. Our action must be done in the knowledge of our own shortcomings and humility before God, who is perfect in all his ways. Again, we see the direct link back to the very first Beatitude, Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Humility is required. A.W. Tozer once wrote, "The meek man is not a human mouse, afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his mortal life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows that he is as weak and helpless as God declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows at the same time that he is in the sight of God of more importance than angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything." That is his motto. When looking at a practical aspect of what it means to be meek, I want us to encourage us in a number of different areas in our lives, four specific different areas in our lives, so that we can display in a real way the meekness that Jesus is talking about here. Okay, firstly, our meekness can be displayed best when we place our trust in God, in all areas of our lives. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Understand and recognize that God is in control and that he will be your shield and your sword. You will look at situations where you will be tempted to take matters into your own hands rather than inquiring of the Lord and leaving the situation for him to deal with. Don't fall for that temptation. Place your trust in the Lord and he will never steer you in a false direction. His counsel is always wise. Secondly, we must acknowledge God in all we are and in all that we do. Proverbs 3:6, the next verse. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. We need to make sure that we give credit where credit is due. Give God the glory that he deserves. Give God the respect that he demands. Honor him in all things. Speak with him in prayer. Include him in your decisions. Walk the path that he has called for you to walk without complaint. And he will raise you up and will go before you and will make your path straight. Thirdly, we must humble ourselves before God and recognize who he is and that his ways are greater than our own. Proverbs 3:7a, so the next verse. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So often we can fall into the trap of thinking that we know best in a given situation. But as we see in the Proverbs, the meek person firstly places their trust in the Lord. Then they look to walk the path that God has set out for them. And now they wait on and listen for the wisdom of God for their action, as opposed to taking matters into their own hands and acting with their own evil intent. Anything that we do that is not within the will of God is against him. Whether we realize it or not, there is little point praying to God and asking him for wisdom in what you should do next in any given situation, only for us to be so impatient that we don't bother waiting to hear his answer as to what he would have us do. Wait for that answer. Wait for that answer. Fourthly, make sure your actions are God-honoring, considered, and in control. The back end of Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. As we already have looked at, meek is defined as strength under control. Jesus was in control of everything that he did. In fact, Jesus said in John 5:19, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Jesus took his instruction from God the Father. John 8:29 tells us, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Again, we see the fact that Jesus is our perfect example of meekness as he looks to the will of his Father, staying his hand until the Father wills it otherwise. Strength under control. And that's what we need to strive towards also. Do not be what we are warned against in Isaiah 59:7-8, where their feet run to evil and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, desolation, and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. Don't be like that. Just like we saw in our opening illustration, when we are meek, we will bear insults without lashing out in proud resentment or retaliation. We'll thank God in every circumstance while using every circumstance, good or bad, as an occasion to submit to him. We better understand this call for meekness in the light of what Jesus says and taught further on in this sermon on the Mount. where he taught in Matthew 5, 38 to 40. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. That means when people hit out at us, we do as Jesus asked. We respond in meekness, not looking for retaliation, not looking for revenge, but practicing strength under control. It's one thing to look at someone and react in like, eye for eye, but it's another to look at the person who has just wronged you and knowing in your heart and mind that you have their measure, whether physically or verbally, and still choosing to turn the other cheek, to bear the injustice of the situation, and to pass it on to Jesus to deal with. Meekness is the baseline for one of Jesus' best known commands, which is found further on in that Matthew passage. Can you guess what it is? Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This doesn't mean that you just stand there and take abuse. There are appropriate actions that you can take without sinning. But we are called to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. It's like when my son and daughter, Harry and Indy, have a fight as siblings do. If one starts it and the other one walks away from the situation and lets us know what's happened, leaving justice in our hands, then only the perpetrator is going to get in trouble. They have shown meekness. But if one starts something and then the other retaliates, they both get in trouble. One for doing the wrong thing and for the other for taking justice into their own hands and doing the wrong thing in doing that. And we're the same, aren't we? When we react, which is what we're all prone to do, then we leave little to no room for God to bring justice to the situation. And we mustn't forget that he sees it all. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 to 7. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. If we want to be blessed by God, then we have to be meek. Strength under control, not given to violence or outbursts of violent and damaging anger, but we are to know our place before God. We're to listen to him. We're to read his words and take note, to be able to be taught. And we're to understand the value of all humans, those closest to us and those much more distant. And we're to treat each and every person as valued. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for yet another amazing verse for us to look at. Lord, meekness is something that is very difficult, Lord, for us to achieve, for many people to achieve, myself included. And Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to prompt us in times when meekness is required. Lord, that it would remind us of when we need to submit to you, Lord, especially, Lord, when it comes to the meekness, to allow our meekness to shine. Lord, I just ask that you would touch the hearts of each and every person, myself included, and would help us to be meek in the different situations as we're confronted with different things, Lord, and as we're abused, whether it be physically or verbally, Lord, that we would not respond in like, but we would show meekness and that we would turn over that justice for you to deal with, Lord. And Lord, where appropriate, that we would take the appropriate channels that are required as opposed to taking things into our own hands. Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.